right, Major League Baseball trade deadline come and gone. Who are the winners? Who are the losers? We'll break it all down for you with our good friend, the All-Star, the World Series champion, and of course does a fantastic job on the MLB Network Radio. We're talking about Steve Sachs. Saxy, what's going on, my man?
TC, how you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. How about you? You going crazy here with this Major League Baseball season here, trade deadline? Everybody wants your opinion, don't they?
Well, I don't know about that. yeah, I was watching everything down to 1 o'clock and then 1:05. And then I thought, well, nothing really happened. It was, but, some of the trades go in and then they have to be ratified and then they come out, 20 minutes later. So I went off to get a sandwich, and on the radio I hear that Greinke is going to the Astros. Just reminds me of 2017 when Verlander went there. So, I mean, we can talk about, the winners and the losers. I can just wrap it up for you real quick. The winner in this whole deal was Houston. Again, a team that went out and did what they had to do. I don't see anybody coming close to this team right now. Now, a lot can happen between now and postseason. Even the Yankees, as stacked as they are, they cannot, in my estimation, they can't come close to doing anything with the Astros right now.
Yeah, you look at this rotation, especially the top third here with Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander, Greinke now to go with that. I mean, in Houston already, it was pretty solid in the pitching department, and then you look what they got, offensively. I agree with you. I mean, this looks like the Astros' year right now.
Oh, yeah. So it'd be Verlander, Cole, Greinke, Wade Miley, and also, remember, Aaron Sanchez is there as well. He's going to be in the fifth slot. Anybody in that rotation has a chance to shut you down. And, boy, we know what they can do offensively, and look where Jose Altuve has come from the depths of almost being down and out this year. He's hitting 300 again. We knew what was going to happen. He just needed an audience and somebody to pitch to him. And there he is. So this team is going to be strong as ever. It's like an all-star team. I don't see how anybody can contend with the Houston Astros. Right now, I don't even think it's going to be close.
So, Steve, who was the biggest surprise for you, whether a team that either did something or didn't do anything come the trade deadline?
What are the New York Yankees doing?
Yeah, that's
or what are they not doing?
Right.
They had a chance to improve their pitching. They've got guys that are going down. CC Sabathia just went down. We know that this team has just been laboring as far as their starters go. Tanaka is always a tenuous situation. Jay Happ has been so-so this year. Paxton's been so-so. This is a team that was in dire need of not one arm. They needed two. And they did nothing. I'm shocked. Remember, this is the same team with this new leadership as far as it goes without George being there. The son, Hal, runs it in a more fiscally responsible way. Just shortly, not too long ago, Dallas Keuchel was turned down because he wanted $1.5 million too much. $1.5 million too much for the Yankees is a sandwich and a cup of coffee.
Absolutely
correct. They did nothing then, and they did nothing now. Their fans have got to be furious because this is an offensive juggernaut, and they really did a lot of good things for the bullpen with Ottavino and Britton, and Tommy Canley found his changeup again. This is a really dynamic bullpen. So you got a million-dollar runway and a 10-cent control tower working for you right now in New York.
And let's don't forget Chapman to close the deal out, who's still very, very effective. Yeah. But when you look at the starting pitching for the Yankees, the ERA of the starters approaching 5. Unheard of. Like you said, offensive juggernaut still rolling in the AL East, but you have to do something to improve that starting because, Steve, as you know better than anybody, if you got an ERA approaching 5 just after the All-Star break, it's not going to get any better. We got some tired arms there.
Good luck with that. And remember, the deadline now is you don't get a second bite at the apple in August. It's over. You can't do it anymore. You get one shot at it. Here's a lot of people are talking about, the teams have just become so fiscally responsible because of all the number crunching and the saber metrics and all this stuff. You got to remember, the Houston Astros, there's no more team out there that's more numbers-oriented than the Houston Astros. So I'm not buying that excuse. I just do not get it. I don't get the Dodgers.
Right.
You had a chance to get Felipe Vasquez. You had a chance to get Will Smith. You didn't do anything. I just can't believe they didn't do anything. They had a chance to to really, you know, get the team better as far as that goes in a big way. Let's put it that way. And they didn't come close to doing that.
And another team that we haven't talked about, and I feel didn't do anything as well, too, and should have done something, the St. Louis Cardinals. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, the Cardinals are depending. They're banking on their pitching and the fact that Paul Goldschmidt's really starting to run it up now. And the team is definitely playing better. There's no doubt about it. But are they going to really be able to contend with the Dodgers right now? I don't think so. Because in the end, the Dodgers have the best three starters in the National League. They've got three number ones with Ryu, Buehler, and Kershaw. And so I think the Dodgers all around are a better team. And you know what? St. Louis really didn't do anything. And so, you know, there's other teams. Milwaukee, they didn't do much.
Added Drew Pomeranz.
Minnesota improved their bullpen a little bit by adding Dyson to the mix. That was a good thing for them. But we knew that they weren't in a market where they could go out and spend a ton. I thought the best fit out there would be a Will Smith and a Madison Bumgarner package deal that could have gone to the Yankees big time. That would have been a perfect suit for them. It would have been great in Minnesota. It would have been great in Atlanta. That's another team. And these teams just sat on their hands. Oh, yeah, there were some things that were done, you know, but nothing in a big way where, you know, a lot of these big guys were going. You know, the Cubs added Castellanos and Kemp. Let's see, the Braves added Green, which was good, and Melanson. Okay, we'll give them that. You know, the Twins added Dyson, as I mentioned. The Nats helped their bullpen a little bit with Hedson, Elias, and Strickland. You know, it's better. It's not really number one guys in the bullpen, but it does give them some depth, and that's what Washington needed. But I'm not seeing the big stunner out there besides Greinke.
You're right. All right. Steve Sachs joined us. MLB Network Radio, of course, the former World Series champion and All-Star joining us. So let's talk a little bit about Bumgarner. You mentioned that in the Giants. Why do you think the Giants were so reluctant to trade him? We've heard this for the last couple months that he could go. Do you think it was because he's so entrenched with that team, or do they really believe, because the way they played the last 30 or 45 days, that they actually have a shot? Why did Bumgarner stay in San Francisco?
Well, I think some of both. You know, I think what the Giants are going to do is they're going to try to raise the glory and just get one last shot at these guys and try to eke it out and get into postseason through the wild card. And, you know, they're 2.5 games out of the wild card right now as we sit. But remember, there's about 47 teams in between them. Now, are the Giants really going to be better than Washington, Philadelphia, the Cubs, Milwaukee? I don't think so, but that's the plight they're facing now, and I think they want to give it one last shot and see if they can do it. They've been playing tremendously. They're the hottest team in the National League from where they came from. Nobody gave them an inkling of an opportunity. But here they sit one game over 500 and a 2.5 games out. They've got an opportunity as far as the numbers go, but as far as the number of teams involved, that's going to be really hard for San Francisco to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about the Phillies here. They were probably a preseason favorite, especially when they got Bryce Harper and, of course, Andrew McCutchen. They add Corey Dickerson today from the Pirates. Mm-hmm. He's batting .315. Remember, a couple of years ago, this guy was pretty good with Tampa Bay. Hit 27 homers two years ago. But Phillies,
he was an all-star there, and then he got DFA'd, which was crazy.
Right. Exactly. So when you look at Phillies,
how do you make the all-star team, and then after the season's over, you get DFA'd?
Right.
That is just preposterous.
No, I know. This guy could play, so I think it's a nice addition for Philly. Where do you think Philly is, considering, like I said, they got injuries, McCutchen out, Jay Bruce is out. I know they added Jason Vargas from the Mets for, you know, their pitching staff, whatever. But what about the Phillies? This was supposed to be the National League East team to beat.
Well, you know, look, the Phillies have some shortcomings on their team. Some people are in the camp where they think Bryce Harper is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Other people think he's kind of a one-trick pony. He's going to hit you some home runs. He's not going to hit for average. He only drove in 100 runs one time in his career. You know, he's had a couple of good years as far as the average goes, but for the most part, he's 250 to 260. But you know, that being said, they've had some injuries that have hurt this team. They thought that they fixed the defense, adding Segura. Hoskins goes back to first base. And then Andrew McCutchen was going to play left field. Of course, he's hurt now. So, look, I mean, the Phillies, it's all about the pitching for them. Jake Arrieta has some loose bodies in his elbow. He has been pitching very subpar as far as what we know and what we love about Jake Arrieta. He's injured. He's still out there pitching. He's going to have surgery in the offseason. Smiley had a nice outing last time, but it's really after Nola, you know, what do you got? You got an injured Jake Arrieta. You got Vince Velasquez. You got Smiley. And then, you got a bunch of guys that are on the DL. You know, David Robertson in their bullpen is still there. McCutcheon's there. Sir Anthony Dominguez in their bullpen is not available. You got a lot of guys on the DL for this team that probably aren't going to make their way back in any significant way. And so, you know, where does Philly lie? Well, for me and most other teams, it's about the pitching, and I'm not seeing it right now.
All right. Final thing here for you, Steve. Let's talk about two teams, one in each league here, that usually are big-time money spenders. And I want to talk about the Cubs, and I want to talk about the Red Sox. Let's first touch on the Red Sox. This team didn't do anything. Are they totally dead in the water? Is this year over for the Red Sox? Or what is your feeling about this team?
No, I don't think they're dead in the water. I don't. I think they've got a definite opportunity to get in, maybe that second wild card. Who knows? I mean, the Red Sox right now are trying to do, you know, almost the impossible when you figure that, you know, you're nine games off the pace. The Yankees are in between you and Tampa. So I don't think that's a possibility, really. But I think through the wild card, as I said, that they've got an opportunity to do that. But again, in pitching, Chris Sale is not the same. David Price is getting batted around a little bit. Porcello's 50-50. Actually, Eduardo Rodriguez has been pretty good for those guys. They added Andrew Cashner, okay, you know. But I just don't see this team as the same as it was last year. Mookie Betts got off to a bad start. He's obviously doing much better now. I don't know. I just don't see the same mojo with this team as we did last year. Now, because of the availability of guys being hurt and opportunities that's presented, you know, look at a guy like Rafael Devers. He's killing it. He's a star now. Xander Bogaerts is having a big year. You know, but not quite the same for Mookie Betts and the pitching staff. Just kind of, you know, kind of subpar.
2 months from now, where are the Cubs?
The Cubs are going to be in it, I think. The Cubs got a ton of talent. They're going to be right there in the end. I mean, it's going to be a flip a coin. Whoever pitches best the last 3 weeks of the season is going to win the National League Central. Absolutely, that's what the key is. And right now, you got to think that St. Louis has got the leg up. From where they came from, a team with basically no identity. You know, was it pitching and defense? Was it slugging? What was it going to be for St. Louis? I think they've kind of figured it out. They kind of put Tommy Edman at the top as their leadoff hitter. Okay, that's a nice thing to have a leadoff hitter. A lot of these teams don't have one, such as the Cubs. You know, they have Kyle Schwarber leading off a lot on this team, and that's just, I look at that right off the bat, and I thought, what is going on with this?
Right.
Teams can't find a leadoff guy because they're so home run centric. They can't find a leadoff guy today. But St. Louis has that. Paul Goldschmidt's really swinging the bat well. St. Louis, I think, has the best pitching in the Central, and they're actually the hottest team in the Central right now. That's why I give St. Louis is probably the leg up, but I guarantee you the Cubs will be there in the end. They'll be right there battling where it's basically going to be a flip of the coin.
Yeah, with the Brewers, I mean, they've got plenty of talent, good heart of the order, didn't do much like you mentioned earlier here at the trade deadline, and a team that notably has fallen apart come July and August. What do you think of the Brew Crew?
Well, you know, I love the moxie of the Brew Crew. This is the team that, they always play hard, which is great. You mentioned the top of the order, or the middle of the order, where they got a chance to really hit the ball out of the ballpark and make some things happen there. I like that about this team, but I really like the top of the order when you put Kane and Yelich together. They really play well off of one another. They've had other guys try to lead off. It just isn't the same. When Kane leads off, Yelich is second, and then they go from there. I really like the chemistry of the team. I think they're somewhat overstretching, if that's a word. I think they're stretching out Josh Hader a little bit in the bullpen. He's kind of been marginalized by the amount of work that he's doing when he goes to multiple innings. If you keep Josh Hader at one inning at a time, you can use him basically every other day. You know, he's a stud. He can get the job done. But this pitching staff, you know, Corbin Burns is on the DL. Yolish Sachin is on the DL as well. Jimmy Nelson's not coming back. Brandon Woodruff, who was an all-star, he's on the DL. This team is really struggling for their starting rotation. And so we'll see if they can, combat that. But bullpen is still pretty good, not like last year with the absence of Corey Knable. But I think the rotation is going to have some challenges this year.
Right.
Offense, I'm not too worried about. It's more about starting rotation and bullpen for them.
Going to be very interesting, especially in the National League. Steve, appreciate the time, knowledge, always. Great work on MLB Network Radio. And we'll talk to you very, very soon, my friend.
You bet. Thanks, TC. Good speaking with you.
You got it, brother.